How's everyone doing? Great. You know, it's always amazing to be able to be here in front, you know, to share with you guys, right, the things that I go through in life. Yeah. You know, I just want to welcome everyone, right, all of you who are here in this hall, in the other halls, and also for those of you who are watching online, okay? I think you need to help me a little bit on the cracking sound. Yeah, but anyway, you know, I'm here today to share with you all, or to continue on with our second part two, okay, of our Renew series, okay, Renew series. So you all remember last week what Pastor shared, right? Last week, Pastor shared about rejection, okay? And our Renew series actually is aimed to help us to overcome negative emotions by leading us to the truth of God's Word. Okay, I know a lot of us, we actually go through a lot of tough times, you know, in our life, right? But, you know, there is never a situation in life that God cannot answer, okay? So our aim here is to help you to understand the truth on this one. So last week, as I said, you know, Pastor started off, kicked off our Renew series on rejection and abandonment. It's a three-part series, and Pastor talked about a certain Samaritan woman, okay? And it's taken from John chapter 4. Okay, so what happened is, you know, as you know, this Samaritan woman, she was rejected, right? How do we know that she was rejected? Very easy, right? Who would go and draw water at 12 o'clock in the afternoon under the hot sun? Unless if you are not accepted, correct? You're rejected. But you know how Jesus responded to this? Very amazing, you know? And you know, as Pastor was telling how Jesus responded, right, it really struck me. You know, because all he did was he just struck a conversation with me. He says, give me some water. You know, give me some water. And in that one sentence, right, he actually changed the whole situation around. And actually, and in the end, you know, the lady, the Samaritan woman, she was accepted by the village people. And how do we know that? Because when she went back to the town and talked to the people and tell them what happened, they listened. People will not listen to you if they do not accept you. You know, that is how amazing God is, just by one question, right? And today, I want to share with you part two on brokenness and oppression and how to overcome brokenness. And again, you will see the amazing ways that God can turn things around, turn the situation around, okay? So, as I start, brokenness and oppression, I want to ask all of you here, okay? All of you here, have you been oppressed before? Oppressed before. Wow, big word, oppressed. Okay, let me break it down to you. Some of you may ask, what does it mean by oppressed? Oxford Dictionary says oppressed is subject to harsh and authoritarian treatment. Okay, think about it. I give you like 5-10 seconds to think about it. Have I been subjected to such harsh and authoritarian treatment before? Wow, exciting, right? Okay. I mean, there are many ways for us to be oppressed, okay? Many ways. Think about it. Maybe at home. Those of you who grew up in a very strict family, right? Maybe your parents subjected you to very harsh and authoritarian treatment. They scold you, you know, they punish you. You know, sometimes your dad comes home from the office very angry and then he just slaps you for no reason, things like that, right? Just to release his anger. You know, many times, I remember many years ago when I was in McDonald's, right? I saw this lady, this mom, right? And she was with a kid, probably less than 2 years old. And then this kid spilled some water onto the table. And what happened was, this mom, she beat the kid, you know, why you spill water? Okay? So when a mom or parent beat a kid, right, that's less than 2 years, toddler, what's the natural response? Cry, right? And then the worst part is the mom hit her. Stop crying! Stop crying! Wow, I tell you, I feel like going there and slap her and say, don't cry. At least she, you know how she feel, right? I mean, how many of you have you gone through that experience before? Wow. The most torturous thing that you can do to a kid is whack them and tell them, don't cry. You know? So parents, okay? Don't do that. Or parents-to-be, don't do that. Those of you online as well. Okay. Second thing, in school. Maybe in school, you all have been subject to oppression or to harsh and authoritarian treatment before. I remember in school, I had this discipline master. You know, he has a nickname in Cantonese. We call him Loi Kong. Loi Kong means thunder. He's the thunder, all right? The thunder. And he walks around with a cane, three canes tied with rubber bands at the end. So if it whacks you, right, I tell you the mark will stay there for a few days. Okay? And you know, amazing thing about him is wherever he walks, silence follows him. You know what it means by that? Okay, in between classes, you know, classes before teacher come in, classes are very noisy, right? So he will walk the corridor. He likes to walk the corridor. When he walks the corridor, right, the class that he is walking in front, whoa, silence. Okay, then he walks. And then he passed to another class. That class become noisy. Whoa, and then he, boom, silent. Then he walks. You know, and he goes on. You know, that is the kind of oppression that we go through. I remember once I forgot to bring my name tag and he pinched me and he bleed, you know. Oh, it bleeds. So that kind. Have you been under such treatment before? Just a name tag on you. Walao. No need to bleed for it, right? You know. But anyway, coming back to this, you know, probably in the office, have you all been subject to harsh and authoritarian treatment in the office? Your boss, you know, boss you around, right? Scolds you, ridicules you, you know, abuse you in the office. And then you just want to go home and slap your child. All right? Have you been that before? Have you been in such a situation? Or maybe we talk about social, you know, I kind of like cover the face a little bit, but you know, we know what happened, right? Most of us. But I mean, look at it. Every time when you see a car that is clamped, most of the time, you will see the owner of the car abusing the guard. Why? Is it because they have a sense of entitlement? And that I can simply park anywhere I want? That's not the case. But what I'm trying to bring to you is this. Have you been abused? Have you been abused before? Have you been under oppression before? You know, there are times or there are many ways, you know, I showed you guys, you know, how we can be oppressed. But if you have gone through such situations before, how did you feel? How did you feel? Did you feel angry? Or did you feel inferior or dejected? Or did you feel anxiety? Right? Did you feel like, oh, I am worthless. My boss scold me like that. You know, I remember when I was younger, early on in my career, I had this boss. I think I better not talk. Maybe he's watching online. You know, but again, you know, we go through this kind of emotions that when we are under oppression, right? We go through under this kind of emotions. And more often than not, those feelings of anger, depression, inferiority, you know, anxiety leads to brokenness. And brokenness is a negative emotion that will impede us to be able to be at our best. Imagine, think about it. If we are broken, we cannot be at our best. And this is exactly where the devil wants us to put us. You know, he wants us to be not at our best so that we cannot do great things for God. And as believers, you know, church as believers, the amazing thing is this is not God's plan for us to be broken. He wants to lift us so that we can be at his at our best for him. And you know, there are so many truths in God's word that we can fall back to and we can look back. And you know, God just wants to free us and let us be victorious. Okay? So, all of us as believers or non-believers, we have to deal with difficult situations and also the emotions that come along with it. And in this series, you will be able to see the emotions of all these Bible characters that we are going to preach on come alive. Why? Why do we want to share this? It's so that you can relate and you can tell, hey, I feel like that guy in the Bible. And, you know, our feeling is valid. It's valid. But what is the most amazing thing here is that, you know, Jesus heals. And when he heals us true and true, body, spirit, and soul. So, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to share with you today, all right, on the man. A story of the oppressed man in the Bible. And I'm going to share from you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Okay, and for those of you who have actually read Mark 5, 1 to 20, you will know that this is actually about the demon-possessed man. Okay, I have a name for him. I call him the Legionnaire. Okay, why the Legionnaire? We will look to the Bible. Okay, so those of you who have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. This is going to be the first time I'm reading from my Bible. This is a new Bible my wife bought me. I mean, not the first time I read the Bible, but first time I'm reading here. At home, I got to read, okay? Okay, so those of you who don't have your Bible, it's okay. You can look at the screen. I actually put it up on the screen. Okay, reading from chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, to not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus said to him, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's why I call him the Legionnaire. Okay? And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And verse 17, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home, tell your friends, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Okay, church, let us pray before we begin, all right? Father, I just want to commit the reading of your words into your hands. I pray and ask, God, that you use me as your mouthpiece so that you can speak to the hearts of your people sitting in this place, oh God. We pray, God, for your touch. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. 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 So, just a little fun fact. You know, we read about the man who had a legion of demons in him. How many, do you know how many soldiers are there in a legion? A legion is actually the largest military unit of a Roman army. Do you know how many people, how many soldiers are there? Want to take a guess, anyone? 1,000? 10,000? Anyone else? 30,000? Wow, getting bigger and bigger. Okay, I'll show you a picture of a Roman legion. Okay, a Roman legion has 10 cohorts. 10 cohorts, and each cohort has 6 centuries. And in each century, there are about 80 to 100 soldiers. So if you take 6 times 80 or to 100 times 10, you get a legion, which is about 5,000 to about 6,000 soldiers. Just imagine, this guy has 5,000 to 6,000 demons in him. Wow, he is really tormented. Think about it, church. I mean, if you look at it, you know, spiritual oppression is not always expressed in the same way, but, you know, the effects of it cannot be denied. What can oppression do to you? Think about it. What can oppression do to you? You know, the oppression, I mean, when you're under oppression, right, the experiences that can lead us to is isolation, self-harm, pain, aim at others, relational dysfunction, which eventually leads to brokenness. If you look at the demon-possessed man, he was in isolation, he was living alone in the tombs. You know, spiritually dead, but the demons actually push him to go and stay with the dead people as well. So physically, although he's alive, he's considered dead as well, right? In isolation. And he cut himself with stones. He cut himself with stones. Why? We don't even understand why he cut himself. So is it to relieve pain, or is it because the demon caused him to do it? Right? He's self-mutilating. And then, of course, he terrorized the people who go near him. You know, he was running around and scaring people, you know, with blood. And I mean, imagine, it's scary, right? You know, so people try to bind him, and people cannot have a proper relationship with him. That's why there's a relational dysfunction, and all this leads to brokenness. And You see, what happens is that many people actually contribute all sorts of difficulty as spiritual oppression, or in their life, the difficulty that they experience in life to spiritual oppression. But not all difficulty is spiritual and in nature. At times, we need to clarify what causes these struggles. Some may be stored, some may be rooted in sinful habits, or maybe it's the ignorance of the person. So what I'm trying to get at today is to help you all to see the difference in this, so that at the end of the day, right, when we read from the scriptures and understand, just like Jesus, we don't look at the cause, right, but we look at the root cause. Okay? We look at the root cause. So coming back to the demon-possessed man, he had a legion of demons in him. How did Jesus respond? How did Jesus respond? Same. Last week, Pastor said this, for the Samaritan woman, right? How did Jesus respond? That Jesus initiated a conversation. So I stole something from Pastor. not copyrighted, right, Pastor? Yeah, it's copyrighted in the Bible. Jesus initiated a conversation, like the Samaritan woman. Jesus asked for a drink, but in this demon possessed man, what was the conversation? You remember, Jesus asked something. What is your name? That's right. What is your name? And by Jesus initiating this conversation, right? Two things happened. The impact of this question is, number one, Jesus showed that he cares. And he cares more than we think he does. It is not about the state of the person, but rather the root cause that brought the person to be in this state. So you see, Jesus could have treated him like all the other people, discard him, ignore him, or bind him, or whatever, right? But Jesus did not do that. Instead, Jesus decided to look at the root cause of the situation or the circumstances. Okay, later on, I will break down a little bit more on this one. And number two, Jesus showed that he has authority over the circumstances. In verse 10, what did the legions or the evil spirit do? They begged Jesus. They begged Jesus. And in verse 12, not only they begged Jesus, they asked for permission. They asked for permission. Oh, Jesus, if you want to cast us out, cast us into the pigs. All right? And in verse 13, you saw that Jesus actually gave permission. Sorry, I'm young. I know you love pork. Okay? I'm not saying pigs are evil, okay? But you see, in verse 13, Jesus gave permission to the demons to come out. You see, church, I want to bring you to this fact. You cannot give permission if you do not have authority. Correct? You cannot. And we can clearly see from verse 13 that Jesus had the authority. So, basing on these two impacts, we can see that Jesus overcame all brokenness, the demon-possessed man went through just by a mere conversation. And by this one question asking, what is your name? Jesus actually took control of the situation. He took control of the situation and he bore these three results. Are you ready, church, for the three results? The first one is this. Jesus overcame all brokenness. Next one. Jesus freed the man from oppression. Jesus freed the man from oppression. Okay, this is physical we're talking about. In verse 12 and 13, it says, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, they rushed down a steep bank and they drowned in the sea. More often than not, church, when a person is oppressed, he or she opts to flee. They opt to run away, and they don't want to seek help. They just choose to hide from the public and hide from their families and friends. And the reason is because they think that people don't understand the situation that they're in. And what makes it worse is that, this feeling of oppression and brokenness, right? It will end up isolating them. And once these people are isolated, it's very hard, to reach out to them. It makes it even more difficult. And to compound on this matter, sometimes people around them also say, oh yeah, this guy no hope, man. never mind lah. Maybe someday, sometime, someone will come and help him to overcome his oppression. It happens. I mean, if you look around you, maybe you can relate to someone who's going through this situation. But church, I want to encourage all of you here, instead of running away, right? I want to encourage you to run towards God. Because when you run away, you will not receive that freedom. And just like the man, the demon-possessed man in verse 6, you know, when he saw Jesus, you know, he did not run away from Jesus. Instead, he ran towards Jesus. Thinking about my school teacher, the discipline master, the thunder, right? I mean, if you see him with a cane, would you run to him? I wouldn't. We go opposite direction, right? We're going up the stairs, we see him, we turn, and then we go down. You know? But, you know, this demon-possessed man, instead of running away, he ran to God. He ran to God. Running away will not help solve the situation. We need to confront it. And church, and only in Jesus can we find the strength to overcome. Only in Jesus. That's why the demon-possessed man ran to Jesus. You see that? If you want to be physically free, you know, run to Jesus. Jesus showed he has authority. You know, his authority by sending away not the man who was oppressed, but what was oppressing him, bringing him out of the darkness and into the light. Jesus gave him physical freedom. So if you are going through brokenness today, if you feel that you are oppressed in any way, run to Jesus and you will find physical freedom. Okay? Number two, Jesus freed the man to be with the right mind. We can read in verse 15. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man and the one who had the legion sitting there clothed and what? And in his right mind. And they were afraid. Before that, before he was freed physically, what was he doing? He was shouting, screaming, shrieking, cutting himself, doing all crazy stuff and things like that. And you know, when they bind him, whoa, he can break loose all the chains and all those things. I mean, who would be so strong? Who would be so strong to be able to break chains just like paper? Ah, yeah, you bind me. Like Superman, you remember? You watch Superman, right? They chain him. And then he just stand up. Okay? He got 5,000 to 6,000 demons in him. What is chains? But you see, when he was freed, he is in his right mind. Why is this important? Because oppression is a tactic by the enemy that makes the person believe that he or she is in a hopeless situation. Okay? That there is nothing that could be done for the victory to be won. It is a state of mind that causes that person to think that they are defeated. And again, remember what I said, this is where the devil wants us to be, to think that we are defeated, that we don't have strength to overcome. But in Jesus, we have. The people around them may also have given them that kind of, a treatment, you know, like I was saying earlier on, hey, this guy no hope, man. During hopelessness, Jesus came in and changed the entire situation. He came in, just like the demon possessed man, he came in and changed the whole thing, 360, you go back to the same place, right? He changed it 180. Okay? 180. Jesus changed the situation. And before he arrived, the demon-possessed man was feared by everyone. And as soon as Jesus stepped in, the man rushed to see him and immediately worshipped at Jesus' feet. Verse 6, we saw it just now. He rushed to Jesus, kneeled down before him, and worshipped Jesus. And, you know, as the demon suggested to Jesus what to do with them, right? Jesus actually gave them the final say. He had the final say. Jesus had the final say. Why? Because he had authority. And in a time when oppression is varied and prevalent, we can claim victory. Church, we can claim victory in Christ Jesus, who can give us immediate freedom because he has the final say in our situation. All right? We just need to believe. That's all. Jesus not only wants to free the man, but he also wants to give him a right mind, because when he has the right mind, he will be able to do more effective God's work. Right? He'll be able to be more effective in doing God's work. So this is mental freedom. And this is even more important than physical. Because once when you're mentally strong, you know, you will be able to stand up and do God's work effectively. Okay, church? So the first one is, you know, by Jesus asking that simple question, he actually gave the man physical freedom, which all of us are assured of as well. And second one is, can give us mental freedom, which we are also assured of. All right? Number three, by Jesus initiating the conversation and asking, what is your name? Jesus actually freed the man to do God's will. Do God's will. Verses 18 to 20, as he was getting in the boat, the man who begged Jesus, right? Let me come with you. But Jesus said, no, no, no. You go back and tell your friends, your family, what has happened and how the Lord had mercy on you. You know, and he went back and he told the people what Jesus had done for him. And what happened? The people will marvel. The people marvel. Earlier on, we read that the people were afraid when he saw him in his right mind. But now, the people marvel. Why? Why is it early on they were afraid and now they marvel? You know, church, a lot of times, we are always afraid of something that we don't know. Correct? Imagine, you see, you all your whole life, you know this guy is gilaon, right? Suddenly you come and say, hey, this guy, what happened to him? Huh? Suddenly, wow, he bathed in clothes, combed his hair nicely, sitting down there, eating and talking with Jesus. I mean, you'll be afraid of what happened, right? But when the man went and explained what happened, and people knew, they marveled at Jesus. They marveled at what had happened. As mentioned earlier, Jesus showed his authority by sending away the man, not the man who was oppressed, but what was oppressing him. You know, the spiritual act alone not only led to a physical recovery, but also to a spiritual recovery. That is very important. Once you're physically freed, you're mentally freed, what is next? Total package, right? Like when you want to go on a tour, you know, they say, I want to buy air ticket. Do you want hotel as well? Breakfast, lunch, dinner? You want somebody to go with you? Tour guide and all those things? I give you the whole package, discount, cheap. So Jesus is telling you, I give you the whole package as well. I free you physically, I free you mentally, I also will free you spiritually as well. And the spiritual freedom actually allowed the demon-possessed man to be used by God. Imagine, remember, Jesus asked him, go back and tell the people what happened. And the people marvel. And the people marvel. Instead of just looking at the state of the demon-possessed man or what caused him to be like that, Jesus actually looked beyond and saw that by freeing this man, he can use this man to free others. Think about the situation that you're in today, church. Brothers, sisters, are you in a situation whereby if Jesus free you, you will be able to free others? Or are you in a situation whereby you can help someone to be freed so that that person can be freed? What an amazing God. He saw beyond just the situation alone, the circumstances alone. He saw beyond that. You know, when we work in the corporate world, right, we always want to look for leaders who can see beyond, right? Foresight, they call it, foresight. You want foresight? Look to Jesus. Jesus will be able to help you to see, you know, beyond your current situation. So as I close, right, three things which I want to share with you, which I want to just remind you again, or I'll bring back again, is that Jesus, just like the demon-possessed man, Jesus promises us physical freedom, mental freedom, spiritual freedom. Jesus overcame all the brokenness the demon-possessed man went through. And that story didn't just stop there because Jesus commissioned him to go and tell of what the Lord has done. You know, church, Jesus can heal whatever that is broken in us, and that while we are being made whole, we can also share our testimony to people that are around us so that everyone can receive that healing. No matter how broken we are, how hopeless the situation may be, or how powerful the enemy may look like, know this fact that Jesus is sovereign. He is sovereign, he has the authority, and he is in control. And we cannot do it alone. That's why we need Jesus. Just like the demon-possessed man, run to God, run to Jesus, not away from him. You know, church, as I end, I want to share a song with you. Okay? I'll share a song with you. The reason why I chose this song is because I felt that the words of this song is really meaningful. And when I first heard it, you know, I said that, wow, I just cannot imagine, you know, what the person was going through, you know, who wrote this song. Because the title of the song is called, Praise You in This Storm. Praise You in This Storm, okay? And imagine if you're in a storm, how can you praise God? Because you're right smack in the middle, right? Can you find yourself to praise God? And he did. And he, you know, this song talks all about it. And before, probably just before I sing the song to you all and share with you all, I'm reminded of a person who actually gone through a lot of oppression in a way, brokenness. And if you know a guy by the name of Nick Vujicic, you know, Nick Vujicic, he's born without hands, without legs. And many years ago, I think probably about 10 years ago, I actually got the opportunity to meet him face to face. And I was playing bass, you know, the Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship actually called for a dinner and they invited him as a speaker. And I was playing bass on the stage, right, when he came in. And you know the way they pushed him in, right, he was like on a small little pram. And this guy behind him so handsome. I have never seen so handsome guy before in my life. True, true. Blonde hair, smooth skin, you know, tall, well-built, pushing the pram. And then, to be frank, at that moment, I was a bit shocked, you know, to see, you know, it reminds me of, you know, if you have a doll and then you pull out the hands and legs and stuff like that, and instead of the body and the head. So I was a bit shocked initially when I saw it, to be truthful, right? And they pushed him, then the guy carried him, put him on a chair and things like that, you know? And I was playing bass there and I looking, you know, a bit. But anyway, staring is bad. So what happened was, when he started, after worship and all, when he started to go on stage, they put him on a table. He put him on a table and he was like walking around the table, right? Yeah, and he was just saying that as he started talking and things like that, I began to feel and connect with him that he is not just a thing; he's a person. You know, you get what I mean? You get what I mean, right? And you know, the defining moment was when he had this ball, right? He kicked the ball, pew, and he actually asked me, because I was sitting in front of him, he asked me to catch the ball, and I caught the ball, and I went up to stage, right? I give him back the ball at that time, and you know what? He hugged me. So you may want to ask, how can a man without hands and legs hug you, right? He hugged me by putting his head on my shoulder and hugged me like that. And I tell you, it just changed my life from that moment onwards. It's just like Jesus, you know, he didn't see the demon-possessed man, but he saw through the demon-possessed man. And you know, church, in this very moment, I just want to encourage each and every one of you here, you know, whatever situation or whatever brokenness or oppression that you're going through, I want to encourage you. Today is the time that you give this all to God. And today is the time that Jesus frees you. So church, the altar is open. Please come up and let God free you physically. Let God free you mentally. Let God free you spiritually. We have so many amazing leaders who are sitting out front who are ready to pray for you. Do not be afraid. Do not be shy. You know, like what the song says, though my heart is torn. No, we can be torn. Sometimes we're very conflicted, right? You know, like, just like, if I ask, how many of you want to go to heaven? Put your hands up. I'm sure everyone wants to go to heaven. But who wants to go to heaven now? Okay? Don't be that conflicted person. If you are going through oppression, come up and let the leaders pray for you. Alright? So as the musicians continue to pray, and I end the prayer, now I have Pastor come up, I want to encourage you, whatever that you're going through, if you're in the other hall, just make your way in and come and let the leaders pray for you. Alright? Father God, I just want to commit this time to your hands, Lord. Father, your word says that we can never be broken if we have you in us. Because we know that whatever situation that we go through in our life, however difficult it is, that comes together with emotions, the negative emotions, we know, Lord, that as we run to you, God, you will come, Lord, and touch us and heal us and free us, oh Father God. We know, Lord, that your hands is upon us, oh God, and you have the authority because you have won the victory on the cross. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for this amazing, amazing mercy that you have shown on us. So we pray and ask, Lord, at this moment, as we come before you, touch us, Lord Jesus. Touch us, O God.